from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson.
There's a country song, or two or three, somewhere in your memory. A sad song about drinking on an empty heart.
Our connection was made about 5 years ago when all of Rochester wrote the same song. Not the same exact song, of course, but songwriters across the region responded to this challenge. Take one line, take a song title, and build your own song out of it. That year, the title was Don't Go Drinking on an Empty Heart. A few dozen musicians and performers turned out to show off their versions, and the event has grown ever since. 2016, the title was You'll Thank Me Later. In 2017, it was How Did We Get Here? In 2018, I'm a Fool for This Town. And this time around, the song title, No One Will Ever Know. You can attend the event 1 week from tonight, but first, we think the world needs a little more music these days, especially today. So our guests are here to share their takes, a little bit of their own music with us. And Sarah Long Hendershot, who is the co-creator of If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song, is here. Always great to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Evan. Happy to be here.
Well, Happy New Year to all of you. Steve Piper, Sarah Ada, Jeff Riles, Kelly Izzo Shapiro. Hi, everybody. Some of you, you can all just yell hi because
hi.
You're all around the studio. They've got their instruments here. We've got guitars. We have some keys in the studio. We're going to hear some music, and the event itself is when, Sarah?
It's Friday the 10th at the Hochstein Performance Hall, and people can get tickets at the Record Archive or Bop Shop Records, or you can go online to brownpapertickets.com and just put in If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song into the search bar, and it'll come up.
Yeah, I think in past years when we've done this show, We've done it so late that, like, you've been borderline sold out, but you can still get tickets now.
You can. I just checked before we went on air, and all three places have tickets available at this time.
All right. 1 week from tonight at Hochstein. It's going to be a great event. How many people performing this year?
There are 22 songs. There are 21 performers.
22 songs, though, to hear.
That's right.
And before we get to some of the music, who gets to decide the song? I want to do a song title 1 year. I would like to be...
Well, it's
no one has ever called me and said, Evan, you're a creative guy.
Well, you got to show up at the right places, Evan.
I guess so. Right.
So we spend a couple of months kind of discussing song titles early in the year. Like, discussions are going on now for next year's title. And we usually create a big list, and I'll take it around with me to the Little or Abilene or wherever I happen to be, and we ask people, and we actually have a box for people to suggest titles at the show. And eventually you just have to pick one.
Where did this one come from?
This one, okay.
No, it's not yours. It's not you?
Was it you, Steve?
Steve Piper?
I don't know if I should answer that, yes. Yes, it was.
It was.
But it was one of those casual things. You know, I said, well... No one will ever know.
And all of a sudden, there
so
was.
It's one of those things you plan for a year, and then on the spur of the moment, something pops up.
So. Right.
You've been working so hard, you gave up. No one will ever know. That's it. No one will ever know. The song title, Sarah. Who though? Is there like a committee that decides on? You go. Yes.
There is. Okay. So the first couple of years, I did it myself. And the songwriters are very connected to the show, and they would really like to be a part of it. And there were some hurt feelings and for people who didn't get in. And so I actually formed a four-person anonymous panel, and those people change every year. And we get together at an undisclosed location. And we'll listen.
Jay's Diner.
Yeah, right. And the panel listens to every note of every song that is submitted. And this year there were 62 songs submitted.
Wow.
And this year it took 7.5 hours to listen to all the songs and to put the show together. And it's not a contest. It's really because probably at least half of the songs were good enough to make it into the show. But unfortunately, we can't be at Hochstein until 1 a.m. So we try to keep it around 20. And there were many, many great songs that didn't make it in that could have made it in. And people are performing them live now.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. You hear these songs. Over 200 songs, 200 original songs have been written in the Rochester area in response to the prompts of this song, of this show.
Wow. So going back 5 years now, it's If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song, 1 week from tonight here. And one more question on the song title thing, because again, think of these song titles. They're great titles. Don't Go Drinking on an Empty Heart, You'll Thank Me Later, How Did We Get Here, I'm a Fool for This Town, and This Year No One Will Ever Know. It's sort of open-ended enough that creative people could do a lot with that. You think about some of the great song titles in history, songs like I'd Rather Have a Bottle in Front of Me Than a Frontal Lobotomy. You know, that is, it's hard to be overly creative. I mean, the song is so specific. Right. You know, I don't know whether to get drunk or go bowling. I mean, there's not a whole lot of songs you can write about that. So,
right.
You know, these are open-ended. And honestly, over the years, you've had sort of really sort of high energy, light, fun stuff. You've had some really heavy, serious stuff. And I imagine that's probably part of the goal, right, to get that range?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we consider when putting the show together. Like, if four people submit a song that's like a straight-ahead blues, 12-bar blues, then we're probably only going to choose one of those songs to go in, because even if they're all worthy, because we want to present a kind of an interesting, creative show that everyone will, you know, enjoy.
Okay. Well, we have some guitars in the studio, and the most patient engineer in the world, Rob Braden, is here making sure that we're all going in the right direction. You want to start over here, Rob? You want to point to where you want me to start?
Doesn't matter.
Rob's like, we're so good, we can start any side of the table.
Well,
here.
I have a suggestion.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since Jeff Riles was a very, very important part of how this whole series began, so maybe we should start with Jeff. And I don't know, I could just quickly tell you that Scott Regan was doing some songwriting with Jeff, and he saw written across the top of one of the pages in Jeff's songwriting journal, Don't Go Drinking on an Empty Heart. And he loved that title so much.
That's how this whole thing got started.
That's how it all started. And the word spread through the songwriting community, and eventually probably over the next decade or so, 26 different artists in Rochester had songs with that title. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to put a show together with all those songs? So
brilliant.
That's how it began.
It was funny because he went home right away and wrote his version, a couple of them probably. And the next thing I know, there's three people got the song written, and I haven't even finished mine yet. You know, I better get busy here, you know.
How does it feel to have friends who will steal your lyrics?
Familiar.
It feels like Nashville.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, it was an honor. It really was. Yeah. It was kind of weird. You know, you can't copyright a title, so you know, there's no legal thing there.
You want to play a little for us here?
Sure.
What are you going to play?
I'll do No One Will Ever Know.
No One Will Ever Know. This is a preview of this year's show.
For years, I had a memory all bottled up inside. I never let on about the pain that I felt. I was holding on to my pride. Sometimes I think I'll start talking, but the words never make it outside. I spent years just thinking and walking down a long road to help me survive. No one will know unless I choose to tell them so. No one will know. Man, I just can't let go. Might look like I'm happy-go-lucky, but there's a demon I just can't control. So I keep to myself and put it back on the shelf, so no one will ever know. For a long time I searched for a reason, but the answer just couldn't be found. I tried to find peace in a bottle, but in the whiskey I damn nearly drowned. They say that time is a healer. That's true, 'cause I'm living today. Now the bad turns to good when I'm thinking of a memory that won't go away. No one will know unless I choose to tell them so. No one will know. Man, I just can't let go. Might look like I'm happy-go-lucky. There's a demon I just can't control. So I keep to myself and put it back on the shelf, so no one will ever know. So I keep to myself and put it back on the shelf, so no one will ever know.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
That's a beauty. Did it make the cut, Sarah?
No, I'm not in the show.
Oh, we forgot to.
Yeah. We just let him hang out with us.
We love Scott Regan, of course. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to hear Scott. And frankly, the tentacles of Regan go in a lot of different directions in this community. You guys, a lot of great musicians have played together. It's kind of like Scott Regan and Friends for Scott Regan fans a week from tonight, right?
Well, Scott Regan is part of it. He actually wrote his song this year with Connie Deming. So two powerhouse songwriters with gorgeous voices come together. And, you know, interestingly, though, this year, probably half of the people in the show have never been in the show before. Mm. So it's a chance to meet new friends and make new connections. And we have a number of young people in the show, which is I'm very excited about. A couple of them are here today.
Yeah. Were there entries of musicians, performers, songwriters who you go, oh, I've never heard of this person?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were several. Yeah. Which is exciting to me because now I've got a bunch of new friends and connections.
By the way, Scott Regan, Connie Deming has agreed to play with Scott Regan?
Oh, my gosh.
What happened to her?
Stop. Stop.
I love Connie. She's one of my favorite people to interview.
Oh, yeah.
And she is a phenomenal performer. And Scott, of course, we love you. And that I was mostly kidding.
They're both Rochester treasures.
Mostly.
One week from tonight at Hochstein, you can get tickets still to this annual event. This is now on year 5. This is technically the 2019 version, but no one will ever know. They're doing it in 2020.
Right.
That's the theme. No one will ever know. 22 songs that you will hear at Hochstein 1 week from tonight. And again, tickets on sale. Where are the three locations?
Record Archive, Bop Shop Records, or online at brownpapertickets.com. You can also find all the information on the show at rochestersongs.com.
Rochestersongs.com. Should we just go around the table here?
Sure.
You ready? Kelly Izzo Shapiro, tell me a little bit about yourself as a performer.
So I studied songwriting at SUNY Purchase for college, but that was a while ago now. I'm older than I look, but no one can see me anyway.
So
I
guess so that is radio. This is radio, Kelly.
No one will ever know that I'm older than I look. but yeah, I write primarily like folk and musical theater type songs, and I did like an independent study with musical theater at college. So I started writing a song every day when I started college.
Writing a song every day?
Yeah, as a sort of a challenge to myself, kind of thinking of it as like a diary And it's really cool because now I have kind of documentation of my college experience, not necessarily autobiographical every single time, but it's a way to kind of get into the headspace that I was in for a particular day. They're all dated. And I'm trying to keep that challenge going. I do let myself have a couple of days off now because, you know, you go a little crazy. But
you mean you're talking about completing a song?
Yeah, yeah.
That is remarkable.
But I think it's good to keep the muscle warm, you know, and just challenge yourself to, like, sit down, write something. It doesn't have to be perfect. Complete it. And then you can always go back and never show anyone or, like, change it.
That is commitment. Amazing stuff. When did you do, when was your first entry into the If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song?
So this was my first entry this year. Yeah.
What do you make of the whole idea?
I think it's really cool. I always love to see how different artists interpret the same topic because everyone's so unique and the perspectives can just be so diverse. And, you know, my perspective of my song that I've written for this is really different than the ones that I've heard in rehearsals. And, you know, mine doesn't even use the line, "No one will ever know," in it. It just sort of was the prompt that created the song. So
I didn't know that was allowed.
I kind of was like thinking I wouldn't get in because of that, but I couldn't. This is what came out. So
all right, well, let's listen. This is Kelly Izzo Shapiro. No One Will Ever Know.
Right. Have you ever told a lie you can't get rid of? So you're forced to change your narrative and bend to the will of the illusion you created. I just wanted to be interesting, because nothing makes me special. I've been squarely in the middle all my life. Nothing makes me special. So I gave myself invisible pride. I've been betting that your memory won't serve you, so I'm struggling to keep the details straight. But I'm certain that the truth would only hurt you. Meant to tell you, now it's far too late. Because now you think I'm special. I've been squarely in the middle of my life. Nothing makes me special. So I gave myself invisible pride. This is where the band plays something really cool. We have an awesome house band. Somebody better, because nothing makes me special. So my secret's locked up safe behind my eyes. Nothing makes me special. So I gave myself invisible pride. Nothing makes me special. I've been squarely in the middle of my life, and you think I'm special, so I live with my invisible lie.
The voice just sneaks out of you, and you're like, whoa.
Where'd that come from?
I think that was beautiful. Well, now you've heard two versions of No One Will Ever Know. That was Kelly Izzo, Shapiro. You heard Jeff Riles. They are two. Those are two of the songs of the 22 that will be performed a week from tonight. And let me ask both Kelly and Jeff to take us inside their process a little bit. So you get the title, but what's your you're someone who writes a song or almost every day of your life. That's a remarkable output.
Not of my entire life. Well, since I was, you know, 18.
Since you're 18. I'm sorry. Amazing. And so what's the process like for you when you get the title?
So I'm somebody who I don't really like to plan out the song before I write it. I more just kind of sit with the idea and whatever comes out comes out. And you know what? Because I think if you try too hard to like write your story before you write your lyrics, you can kind of box yourself in. And I think I try to just sort of almost meditate and like let the song write itself. And then if I get stuck, I can kind of go back and look at pieces and say, okay, what is my, like, what are my lyrics trying to tell here? And where can I go from here? But usually I start out just sort of, what did it mean to me? No one will ever know. Well, to me it meant, like, you have a secret, right, that you can't tell someone for whatever reason. And my secret ended up being that I had told something untrue, and now my whole personality with this person was skewed, was based on a lie, you know, like a snowball effect of a lie. But like anybody else could have taken, no one will ever know, and taken in a totally different direction. So,
wow.
Mm-hmm. I got to follow that.
I know, yeah, Jeff. Sorry. I mean, that's a beautiful story. No, actually, I mean, I'm always leery to do this because I don't like comparing individual songs to other songs. Every song has its own sort of story or its own entity. Performers to other performers. But there are certain songs in my life that stand out to me that have like a similar theme, and that because that was awesome. It was just it's a beautiful way of telling that story. The Push Stars of all bands wrote a song about a guy who based a relationship on a lie, and I've really dug that song. And then there's a song by a band called Matthew and the Atlas, and they have a line in the song called that says, "I'm not nothing, but I'm not a lot." And it's a devastating line where the singer of the song is basically saying, look, I know I'm okay. I also know that I don't feel like I'm much. And you've got that line in the middle of the song. Yeah. What do you say? Tell me the line.
Nothing makes me special. I've been squarely in the middle of my life.
Squarely in the middle of my life. That's like this devastating thing because clearly it's not true about you. But
everybody feels that way sometimes.
I just find it so relatable. I find it so relatable. That was awesome.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun. All right, Jeff. Yeah, sorry, man. You got it. So you sit down when you get No One Will Ever Know, and you decide, what's your process like there?
Well, normally I have a problem writing to a title if somebody gives me something, because I usually come up with a melody first, and then the melody tells me what type of song it's going to be. Maybe, okay, well, this is a train song. This is a love song or something like that. But when I got this one, I started thinking about, I had something happen to me in Memphis. That's where I'm from. And as soon as I thought about that, I said, well, I'm going to make it kind of a soul, like a Stax Record type soul song. And I'm going to tell this story in a roundabout way, in a way that I don't really reveal what the problem was, and no one will ever know.
When do you know that it's done?
It's never done, because anytime I think everybody, any musician that records and stuff, you'd sit back and listen to it, and you go, I could have done better. I could have done this and that right there, that part of the song. I don't like that, but I got to stop somewhere, and that's good enough.
Good enough. I really dug it too. I thought we've heard two beautiful songs. By the way, Scott Regan writes in just to kind of give us a little bit of explanation. He says, one way to get Connie Deming to sing with you is to convince her to write a song together. She was stuck with me before she realized what was happening.
Brilliant.
Scott, we joke with you, man, but Scott has his own level of brilliance. His wife hates hearing that, but it is true. If you're just joining us, we're talking about If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song, and they're on year 5, and you can attend next Friday night. Tickets are still available. Tell me again the website. That's the easiest way to check out all of it.
RochesterSongs.com.
RochesterSongs.com. Sarah Long Hendershot, the co-creator, is here. You've heard Jeff Riles, Kelly Izzo Shapiro, Sarah Ada, Steve Piper. They're gonna bring us some music on the other side of this break. So let's get our only break of the hour and come back with them next. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, two local leaders in the faith community are coming together to offer anti-racism workshops. During their trainings, they discuss white privilege, white supremacy, and the impact of systemic racism. We sit down with Reverend Alan Daly and Reverend William Wilkinson to talk about their methods and how they approach difficult conversations. It's Monday on Connections. All right, welcome back here. And If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song has had five different song titles for musicians and songwriters to ponder over the years. 2015, the first version taken right from a sheet of Jeff Riles' music, Don't Go Drinking on an Empty Heart. And I think we heard Dan Eaton's version,
yes,
to open the show, didn't we? That was,
yep,
that was awesome stuff. I don't know if Dan's listening. He's always working, but... Great.
Yeah, he's wonderful. We love Dan Eaton, and he's working out of town these days.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we haven't gotten a submission in the last couple of years. If you're listening, Dan,
come on,
we're waiting.
Dan. Come on, man. Don't Go Drinking on Empty Heart was 2015. Then You'll Thank Me Later. How Did We Get Here? I'm a Fool for This Town, and No One Will Ever Know. I mean, there's sort of different flavors of this kind of challenge. You can give poets the name of a poem and see what they do with it. You can give, you know, an author, the name of a book. There's all kinds of things, but this is just a great idea, and you're hearing how it came together and a chance for you to get a little preview of this year's event, which is 1 week from tonight at Hochstein, and tickets are still available. All right, well, the other Sarah, Sarah Ada, Steve Piper.
Hello.
Working together here.
Well, I just helped her move the piano.
You're kind of like, are you the house band?
Yeah, actually, that's true. I didn't write a song this year.
You did not?
I didn't. The first year I did, Don't Go Drinking, and it's still around. And I didn't because Sarah has been so kind to let me be in the house band, and I really like doing that, you know, to try to find something that fits but isn't too distracting.
So Steve is the kind of guy who can literally add harmony to anything. There should be a whole year where people write like melodies that they think that there's no harmony for, and Steve will find a way.
Well, Evan, I don't know about that.
That's just science.
Okay.
But for your process, then, what is it? Because there's 22 songs. How many songs are you actually playing on?
Good question. I'm guessing probably 15 or so.
That's a lot.
You know, it is a lot. And like I said, I try to just, well, we listen to them, those of us in the house band, we make demos, so there's demos to listen to, so it doesn't feel too alien, and I don't feel too overwhelmed when we get together to rehearse.
Sure. And so, are you in on both of these that we just heard?
Yes.
Which one do you like better?
Whichever one you say, Evan. I agree with you. They're both, diverge for a second here,
yeah,
because the songs are so different, but they're both really real, you know. And I think there's a lot of songs that you hear that are pleasant, but they don't strike you as,
yeah,
being from a real person. And both of those are really moving because they are real.
You know how precarious that game though is for me to play. And I think I've told the story on the air, but like one of the most disappointing moments for me as a music fan was when I heard Ray LaMontagne on, I think it was on World Cafe, and he's telling his story of his new album, which was out like a year ago now. And there was a song, the first single off this new album was Such a Simple Thing. And I'm like, oh my God, this song just cuts into my soul. It's so real. And he's telling the story. I'm like, I can't wait to hear the story. And he's like, I just sang that chorus in the shower. And my wife's like, you should record that. And I'm like, well, it doesn't mean anything. I'll give it to somebody else. And she said, no, you do it. And he said, and it's the only song on the record that doesn't mean anything to me. And I'm going, well, I am just the worst judge of authenticity in music.
Yeah,
you know what?
But we can lie to ourselves,
heard the,
too.
I heard the same interview, and I felt exactly the same
way.
For some reason, it really cut
my
heart.
No.
I was like, what? It's meaningless to you?
It means something to me, Ray.
Yeah, don't you think it's more important that the listener finds meaning? than the songwriter?
I guess that's the question, right?
I mean, think that's true.
Both would be ideal, though.
Well, but you know, like, yeah. Well, I think a songwriter who writes anything is communicating something, whether it means something personal to them or not. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest important thing is to connect with, like, people on a universal level.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair enough. And so anyway, just a little sort of side note there. But I also take Steve's point. I mean, you can just feel, to me, the authenticity. Because I think they're universal. I think people will be hit with these songs, these lyrics in different ways. When you are kind of figuring out your role, are you always adding harmonies? Or, like, I mean, what's that?
There's a few songs I think I'm singing harmony on. Sarah, Ida is...
Ada.
I was sort of in between Ada and Ida when I said that. I tried to sort of blend the two. We just met. She's a wonderful musician, and she's a real natural harmony singer. So she's been adding harmonies, and I think
she sings
that's
on my
cool.
song. It's really cool.
Yeah, I don't have to. So
you know what's even harder is, like, when you are hosting a show and 10 minutes into the show you realize you don't know a person's name.
Yes.
Yeah, I've hosted the show. I'm in the year 6 or 7. That's happened a couple of times. Yeah. I mean, if you're wondering how in the world that can happen, we'll talk someday.
It just happens. I have 2 children.
You forget their names,
at the moment.
It happens.
Yeah, all right, enough of this.
All right. Well, let's hear some music here. And I know that what we're going to do is, so Sarah Ada, you want to grab that mic, and what have you decided you want to do? You want to give us a verse of it and just kind of keep it limited here, or you want to play something else? Well, you want to do both? What do you want to do?
Well, I could do, how about I do, like, the verse and keep it limited, and then if you're like, oh, sure, like, let's hear something else, then I'll do something else. How about that?
I guess we'll decide after we hear you, but I think that we are going to say yes. So okay. this is part of your contribution to If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. And again, the song title they had to work with was No One Will Ever Know.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right.
Each day I go through this same old door with no more than an ordinary dream. And people out there think I've got it all figured out. They don't know I only show the best of me. I try to move a mountain that forever seems to grow. I keep on pushing till the rain turns to snow. But when I come on home, I can let it out, I can let it go. 'Cause other than you, no one will ever know. No. Let it go, 'cause other than you, no one will ever know.
Yeah, and it's actually a duet, and it's actually about me and my husband, but Sarah's gonna be acting as my husband on the stage and singing this song with me, so yeah.
That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
That was great. So, do you write a song every day?
No, Kelly is just out there making us all look bad. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like sinking into my chair.
I do not, but I do write. I am, like, working on songs pretty much every single day, and there is this thing in February called February Album Writing Month, and I usually partake in that. And in February Album Writing Month, you're supposed to write 14 songs during the month. So that if you accomplish it, that does come out to, like, a song every other day, you know. But
that's a lot of output.
It is a lot. I'm actually very amazed by Kelly. I mean, for me, some songs take months to complete, or even, like, sometimes a whole year. Or I have a couple of songs that took a little over a year, because for me it's like, man, it's just pulling teeth almost sometimes.
Well, when did you start writing songs?
Well, I would come up with like little melodies and stuff at a really young age, like maybe 6 or 7. But actually like coming up with lyrics, mm-hmm. I think maybe 10, and then like really fleshing out songs and like really completing songs that I felt I could actually perform for people was probably more like 15 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite conversations of 2019, almost a year ago now, was last January when one of my old favorite bands, Guster, was in Rochester, and I convinced Ryan Miller through Twitter to come on the show, and he did, and it was awesome. And he was talking about how they play a lot of their old favorites because there's some segment of the audience that expects that. But they've been doing it for 25 years, and he likes their new stuff. And so I asked him, I said, is that inevitable for any artist, for an author, for a painter, for a musician? Is it inevitable that if you've done it for several decades, you will look at your early stuff and say, what was I doing? And he said, no, I don't think so. He said, I just happened to for me. I think my early stuff sucks. But he said, I don't think it's inevitable because he was pointing to a number of people who are 18, 19 years old who are doing stuff that he thinks is mind-blowing. So do you look back at your earliest stuff and think, what was I doing? Or do you think, I see some seeds there?
I see seeds. And also, I feel like, wow, like I wrote that when I was 15. That was pretty, you know, raw and deep and pretty interesting chord changes. And like, I'll always find something like good about it. And the fact is, like, at that time, I wasn't really recording things, and I wasn't even so much writing things down. I just remembered it, and that's always kind of struck me is about, you know, I mean, I put myself down a lot. I think we all do, like our songs. But the one thing I've kind of held on to is like I write very memorable things, and I'll be like, oh yeah, it's not like a great song necessarily, but hey, I wrote this little melody when I was 10. I still like totally remember it. And I think that's pretty amazing actually.
Great.
Yeah.
So you want to play another one for us that's outside of the genre of All
sure.
Rochester wrote the same song, but you're here. So can we get one?
Yeah, sure. Why
what do you
not?
Got?
Okay. Well, this is a song. I'm actually recording it right now. Actually, I just finished recording it. And it's now in the mixing stages. And I did most of this work in Rochester, actually, which for me is a big deal because I just moved here. So it's been kind of a while to get the right people together. But anyway, so this is called Pour Over Me.
Pictures you paint, the scenes you create, I'm captivated. I'm in awe at the power you wield, how you hardly lift the pen. Still the poetry is spilled. And please pour over me while I pour over you. Won't you pour over me? Stone and keep my heart at ease.
Sarah Long Hendershot's looking at me like, see? Is that what you want to say with that?
No, we're just so lucky in this
town.
So
good.
It's unbelievable, the level of talent here. You know, Sarah, Annie Wells did a tribute to Laura Nyro, and she asked me to be a part of that show. And this woman came into rehearsals and started playing piano and singing, and my jaw just hit the floor. I was like, who is this person, and why don't I know her? And it was Sarah Ada, who has only lived in Rochester for a year or so. And I asked her to play a show with me, with my band, the Jane Mutiny. And she's just out of this world.
What do you, so. I mean, like, I love Rochester, and we're glad you're here. What are you doing here?
No joke. I honestly moved here because I felt that the music scene fit me. And
what?
Yeah,
I
felt it was a good fit for what I wanted to do. And, you know, I tour and stuff. And really, like, in the end, I was like, I was living in Chicago, and I thought, I can't live in Chicago anymore. I can't live in, like, Boston, which is where I lived for a while. Like, I need to live in a cheap place that still has like a thriving art scene, and if anything, I almost feel like the two are very interconnected, because it's so hard to like make authentic art that you're proud of if you're like grinding it out every single day, whether as a musician or like even just doing something else to make ends meet. So I happened to do a show here, and I just felt it. Like, this is it. This is where I should move. So I moved here.
Well, I mean, we just did a conversation yesterday.
I know.
On California housing prices. And
yeah,
you know.
I listened to it.
So for you, that was a big draw, being here.
Get
a lot for your money.
Huge. Yes, huge. Like, and it's not just that it needed to be a cheap place. It needed to, like, be affordable and also have a really great, like, creative community. And it, like, I just think that's kind of hard to find, to be honest.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, which actually, to be really, that is probably one of the closer towns that I think is a little bit like Rochester. And maybe that's part of the reason why I also felt like, oh, this kind of reminded me of where I grew up. Yeah. Because it's also a little more affordable in Providence, but has a really, like, amazing, thriving creative community.
Well, for people listening going, I don't know, feel the same way. I don't know why we didn't know you before. Where can they find your music?
SarahAida.com, SARAHEIDE.com.
Ada is EIDE, Steve.
It's a weird name.
Sarah, and people can see her live.
You can
next
see her
Friday.
Live. Next.
Yeah.
Friday.
I'll be
she
in the house
the
band.
List.
You could see me like the whole time. Pretty
all
much.
Night.
Wait, you're in the house band too.
I am in the house band.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now one more quick question for you though, as a touring musician, because you say you came here, Rochester fits what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's ideal. What's the career that you want to keep creating for yourself?
Oh my gosh. Well, that is such a loaded question. There are so many things that I really want to do. I really want to, like, it's a long list. I'll just name a few things. I studied film scoring at Berkeley, and I do that, but I've really wanted to, like, find directors that really fit with me and, like, have a thriving relationship and do more of that. I want to be a music director. I love directing a band, you know, and I kind of like...
Like,
I mean,
what level, though? Like, where does that happen?
Oh, like, I would love to do it, like, for a touring artist, mm-hmm. but I'd also love to do it just for, like, a show. Like, honestly, like, a show like this, it's just, like, my dream if I could be, like, the music director. I just love that. I love musical theater, and I've really wanted to also... I would love to have, like, a musical on Broadway. To be honest, for me, it's, like, I don't like doing the same thing all the time. Like, I love performing. I love writing. I love writing my own songs and performing them on stage. But I just want to, yeah, like, I've always just dreamt of being able to do anything, you know?
Yeah, and so your new town, your new hometown now, is a town that a lot of people, I think understandably, refer to as an arts town. But
yeah.
For me, one of the thresholds to getting that sort of like legitimate title of an arts town is, can artists in various genres do that for a living. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard. We talked to Jay Simmons a week ago, who was one of City Newspaper's Rochester 10, one of the really outstanding actors in Rochester. And he's one of the few, relatively few people who that's what he does for a living. He acts. Yeah, he coaches and teaches. But, I mean, acting is his profession. And he's living in Rochester doing it. He's happy doing it.
Yeah.
How confident are you that all the things you just described that you want to do,
yeah,
you can stay in Rochester and you can do, and by the way, you don't need a side gig?
I feel very confident. I mean, not just because it's not just a pat on my shoulder. I think that you do need to have a bit of an entrepreneurial, this is a hard word to say for me,
yeah.
Spirit.
It's like Ada.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But you need that sort of business mindset. And I think that I have that. And I think ultimately also you just have to have a plan and just kind of keep going for it and also be flexible. And, you know, I've been on this path now for, like I graduated, I want to say 8 years ago, something like that. So, you know, I don't do it full time for all my money, but it's getting there. And I think so much of it is just, it's a marathon. You just have to like really, you know, keep going and also network. And yeah, do I think like all the high paying jobs are here for arts? Like, no, but I think that, you know, this could be my home base and then I love traveling. So I could go to Nashville and do something there, but then come back here. And I prefer that. I don't really want to live in a place that's like, you know, all just people grinding it out every single day, just trying to make their money with their art.
So briefly then, do you think Rochester is an art city?
I do. And to be honest, I do dream of just doing music 100% for my money. But at the same time, like, I don't think that's the most important. This is me speaking as a more mature person, because a year ago I wouldn't have said this. But now I realize, like, it's not everything, you know, because doing other kinds of work, it can also, as long as you're happy with what you're doing, mm-hmm. and it's helping you live like a fulfilled life, it just makes you like a more well-rounded, interesting person. Like, I feel like I wouldn't be writing the songs that I do if I didn't do things that were helping me relate to people who weren't musicians, you know, and weren't artists. Mm. So I don't know. That's just my own perspective.
Sarah Long Hendershot, I think you'll appreciate this. Chris on Twitter says, one thing everyone will know is how much incredible creative talent the city has. These songs are wonderful.
That's
from Chris. Just they listening,
are.
Jumping yeah. on Twitter to say so, offer
Beautiful.
His appreciation
you,
for
Chris.
The music this hour. And just want to let people know one more time, if you want to hear Sarah, Jeff, Kelly, Steve, you, Sarah Long.
I'm singing on a couple of songs, including Jeff Spivak's, which is really fun.
Jeff Spivak, by the way, everyone, will be there performing.
That's right.
So do not miss that.
It might be his best one ever, too.
1 week from tonight, No One Will Ever Know is the name of the song for If All Rochester Wrote the Same Song. There are 22 different songs that you can hear. It is at Hochstein. Starts when?
Doors open at 7. Show starts at 7:30.
And they've got 22 songs for you to hear from this wide range of great talent, and you can get tickets at 3 different places. Where?
That's right. Oh, I also want to mention that there will be beer and wine as well for sale during intermission. So if you want to just have a little tipple with us, that's going to happen too. You can get tickets at the Record Archive, at Bop Shop Records, or online. You can go to rochestersongs.com, and there's a link there.
Okay. Well, I hope your heart's full there, because if you go out and get a drink during the intermission, you wouldn't want to go drinking on an empty heart.
No.
But 5 years they've been doing this. It's really, really cool stuff. All thanks to Jeff Riles and Scott Regan and Sarah Long Hendershot, and they've got this network of folks now. So a lot of the familiar favorite names, and then people like Kelly and Sarah, who are just going to blow the doors off. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Evan.
Really,
you.
Really
Thanks
great having
us.
All of you. This hour, you've been hearing Sarah Long Hendershot, Steve Piper, Sarah Ada, Jeff Riles, Kelly Izzo Shapiro, part of the much larger cast and crew that you can hear next week. Our thanks to Emma Rae Stein, who is interning with us. And I think we had Dolores Parlato, the great Dolores, volunteering. Megan Max, the producer. Rob Braden is the engineer. Have a wonderful music-filled weekend, and we're back with you Monday on member-supported public radio.
Be the price, it only happened once. They never thought twice. Should have held it all together. It's falling all apart. Don't go drinking on an empty heart. Don't go drinking on an empty heart. Don't go drinking on an empty heart.
hard. Don't go drinking on an empty heart. Billy found his girl with Mary's only love. Now they've left this world with angels up above. They should have thought it through before the final round. And the whiskey came unglued and the bodies hit the ground. Should have held it all together.